Isaiah 10, I want to talk about just the first few verses, where Isaiah criticizes the people of Judah. You deprive, verse 2, the needy from justice, and you rob the poor among my people of their rights, so that widows may be their spoil, and that they may make the fatherless their prey. So he's saying, you are taking things away from the widows. You are preying upon the fatherless. You are taking spoil and prey from people, your own brethren, because you are robbing them of justice. But then we're going to read on in verse 6 that they were also going to be for spoil and for prey at the hands of the Assyrians. He says, God says, verse 6, that he's going to send the Assyrians upon them to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Now, this is what we just read in verse 2 of what the people of Judah were doing to each other. They were treading each other down like the mire of the streets. They were, as it were, taking the spoil and prey from each other. And yet, that was what was going to happen to them at the hands of the Assyrians. And so the question is, verse 3, what will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee from help? Where will you leave your wealth? So the question is, well, look, there's a day of judgment coming when you are going to desperately need mercy and grace, and you will not want to be the spoil and the prey for others. So therefore, you didn't ought to be treating other people like this now. The day of visitation. What will you do in the day of visitation? Well, that little phrase is actually quoted by Peter in 1 Peter 2:12, and he applies it in our context to the second coming of the Lord Jesus in judgment. So the idea is that a day of judgment is coming, and that day is going to bring all of us very small, and we shall be desperate not to be trodden down in judgment, in condemnation. We shall be desperate not to be condemned. We shall be desperate that we shall not be spoiled and preyed upon, even though, quite rightly, that should happen to us. And yet, if that's what we've done to other people, then that is what is going to happen to us. So it is absolutely critical that we treat others as we would like to be treated in the day of judgment, at the last day, when the day of visitation will come. Well, actually, verse 1 begins by saying, woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, and to the writers who write oppressive decrees to rob the poor among my people of their rights, that widows may be their spoil, and that they may make the fatherless their prey. They were doing this on the basis of legal judgments and principles that they had written out and decided that that is going to govern our lives. And I want to make a point here, and it's this, that if you're going to uphold principles and statements, etc., which are abusive to others, particularly that are condemnatory of others, well, how shall you fare in the day of visitation, when you also will be begging God for grace and not to be judged by hard laws? I think of the community that I came from that was based around what they called four clauses. Basically said, if you divorce and remarry, then you are basically condemned, and we will not fellowship you, nor will we fellowship anybody who fellowships you, even if that person is not divorced and remarried. If you fellowship someone who fellowships someone who fellowships someone who is divorced and remarried, then OUT spells out. And of course, I didn't last very long in that community before I got the out. But I think about it now, I look back on it, and I think I read this chapter here in Isaiah 10. You see, all those people who have condemned others like that, and it's no good saying, oh, we're not condemning. Well, you are, because you are making a decision that someone is unfit to be at the table of grace of the Lord Jesus. You are saying, I will not come near to you in fellowship you are judging. There's no point in trying to call it something else or just wordsmithing it. That is what you are doing. If you do that, well, how are you going to fare? Because on the day of judgment, although you may have not committed this divorce and remarriage, which in the community I grew up in was the obsession, was the sort of epitome of sin, right, you might not have done that, but you've done plenty of other things. Don't try and pretend you haven't. You have sinned. Of course, we have all sinned grievously and come short of the glory of God. And so we shall need his absolute grace in the last day. Well, what are you to do? I don't think you can just think, in my heart, I don't really go along with it, but that's the position of the church and that's the position of the community, and I'm not going to leave my church, I'm not going to leave my family, my friends. If I say I don't agree, I'm going to get chucked out. That's the conundrum that I went through for a while. Unfortunately, I came down on the right side. But when you read things like this and you think about it, you have to be gracious. If your family aren't, or if your church isn't, well, so they're not. But you cannot go along with those positions that are going to rob other people, that are going to trample other people down. You can't come and break bread. There's no good saying, but that's not what we're doing. We're just saying you can't break bread. We're just saying you're not in fellowship. You're not just saying that. That is to despise somebody. Now, these principles are fundamental, and they apply. I've given an extreme case of the community I grew up in, but I think they apply very widely. Who are you to tell somebody that, because it's written in our statement of faith that we can't accept you, therefore we can't accept you? No, you are not going to be judged according to your obedience to a statement of faith or some bought position from any community, but upon how you treated people. When you look at the mass of biblical information about the Day of Judgment, and there's a lot of it there, you'll never find that it is ever presented as a theological exam, that if you don't have this right, then you're out. Never. What it is all the evidence is all that it's about how you treat others, how you forgive, how you are tolerant in the face of the reality that you have sinned grievously. And it's a refusal to accept that we are real sinners and we come down very small before God. It's a refusal to do that, which is the root of the problem. Like with absolutely everything, it is pride that is the problem. It is a lack of humility, a lack of acceptance that we need his grace. Now, as I say, when you look at the biblical teaching about the Day of Judgment, it is never stated that it's sort of acceptance with God depends upon pure theology. It's never stated. Never. And is it really going to be the case that, for example, I come to the Day of Judgment and the Lord says, well, Duncan, you weren't a bad kid. Overall, you weren't a bad kid, but I'm sorry to tell you that you went through your life believing that the devil doesn't exist. And I'm sorry to tell you, I mean, the devil as a fallen angel, a cosmic being. And I'm sorry to tell you, but there he is, and there he is, licking his lips and the lipstick shining. Devil is another candidate for you, and he licks his lips and takes me away to my condemnation. That's not the Lord Jesus that I have known, and I know him, and I don't believe he would do that to me, nor to anyone, nor to you either. But if that is the Jesus that I have known, and if that is the Jesus as he presents himself, as one who is passionate about issues like justice, forgiveness, kindness, gentleness, love, etc., passionate about them, but never passionate about theological purity, well, we need to live now in accordance with how he is going to judge. And the problem with the people at this time, as I said here in Isaiah 10, verse 1, there were unrighteous decrees that had been written. There were oppressive decrees that had been written that deprived others from justice, that robbed poor people of their rights, that made widows their spoil, and that preyed upon the fatherless. I think of how, for example, somebody's disfellowshipped, and, oh, well, of course, their parents, their wife, their children. Well, you mustn't fellowship with the one who's been disfellowshipped. And if they say, well, no, we don't quite agree with you, we think dad or mom or whoever was a good person and is a good person, is a totally sincere believer, oh, well, out you go. But then all of those people have got their relatives, friends, people they brought to Christ, people they served in their lives, and what are you going to do? Throw them out as well. All because you cannot accept that there was something wrong in the decrees of your elders. And so, yeah, I'm appealing for us to move away from any document-based statement of faith, any document-based view of fellowship, especially any document-based view of judging people, excluding people, and so forth. Because it's going to lead you into the position that these people were led into. And they ended up doing things which effectively were to spoil people, to prey upon people, to rob them of justice, and to hurt them. And what will you do in the day of visitation? What will you do in the day of judgment? And as we saw in verse 6, exactly what they had done to others, because of their obedience to decrees written by others, was done to them in the horrors of the Assyrian and Babylonian invasions.